So what I'm trying to tell you here is if you want to make sure that you're aging well, if you don't want to end up like all the old people that who you see are just messed up and tired and just struggling, probably like a lot of your parents are, and you want to avoid aging faster than you should, improving your sleep quality and tracking it as you get older should be extremely high up on your priority for your health. So that said, let's talk about how to sleep better. How do we actually get a better night's sleep? And just to start off this talk, I want to talk about balancing stress and recovery. What's up, my friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Legendary Life Podcast. I'm your host, celebrity trainer and high-performance health coach, Ted Rice. This is a podcast for men and women who are looking to boost their energy and upgrade their health. So get ready to learn proven health, fitness, and mindset strategies to unlock your full potential. And today, I've got an amazing episode for you. It's going to all be on sleep. In fact, I should call it the Sleep Masterclass. But I know there's so many other sleep articles and episodes out there, and I want to let you know that we're not going to cover the same old tired information. I mean, I'll have to cover a little bit of the basics for those of you who are new to sleep, but we're not going to cover sleep in a dark room, make your room cool. We're not going to cover the obvious and things that are repeated by random people on social media because they've heard it so many times. I mean, again, I'm going to mention those just in case someone's new to sleep optimization and they don't know it, but I'm going to dive deep into things that you've never heard talked about before. So that's coming up. If you're looking to optimize your sleep, if you're waking up in the morning not feeling rested, or if you wake up during the night multiple times, or if you're one of those people whose mind is running at night and you have trouble sleeping, or perhaps you're even suffering from a bout of insomnia, you're gonna wanna pay attention because we're gonna go over how to fix all that. But before we jump into today's sleep training, I want to let you know that this episode is brought to you by Organifi Green Juice. So if you're a busy professional who's having trouble eating healthy, you've got to listen up. You know that to thrive in all areas of your life, you need to eat well. What we eat affects everything from our energy levels to the amount of inflammation we have in our body to our immune system function. But let's be honest, most of us don't eat the recommended servings of vegetables and fruits each day. So for those of us who are on the go or having trouble eating healthy, having a green powder makes it easy to get your greens in every single day, no matter how busy you are. And that's why I recommend Organifi Green Juice, a superfood powder that you can just add water to so that you can get your greens in on the go. And let me tell you, I've tried so many green supplements before, and there's a lot of high quality ones on the market. But the big issue, especially with the best ones, is that they kind of taste like if you dried out a fish tank and scraped off the sides and put that into a supplement bottle. That's what it tastes like. And let's be honest, if it tastes bad, you're not going to drink it. And that's the best thing about Organifi Green Juice. It actually tastes good. But don't believe me, try it for yourself and use the code TED20, that's capital TED and the number 20, at www.organifi.com. So Organifi.com to receive 20% off your first order. But hurry, again, this is a limited time discount that we've secured for Legendary Life listeners. So if you don't take action on this and you try to come back later, or if you're listening to this episode 6 months from now and the code doesn't work, well, you snooze, you lose. No pun intended with today's episode. So let's jump into it. Sleep. And specifically, how sleep is affecting your weight loss, productivity, performance at work, and relationships. So let me be honest about something. I never cared about sleep when I first got into the health and fitness industry. I was 22 years old, and I was convinced that I knew quite a bit about training, nutrition, health, etc. And I did, right? I mean, I did. But especially for at the time, I was learning from the best people, and there wasn't the sheer amount of information that's available now. But I did get to the point where I spent most of my time looking for magic supplements, secret training methods, special exercises, and crazy diets to take me to the next level. But it never worked. And later on, actually in my 30s, I started learning about the power of sleep. And now I'm obsessed with optimizing my sleep quality. And there's a really good reason for it, because there's no supplement you can take. There's no workout you can do. There's no nutrition plan that you can follow to make up for poor quality sleep. It just doesn't exist. You have to focus on optimizing your sleep if you want to have the energy levels, if you want to be healthy, if you want to recover from your workouts, and if you want to be able to follow a nutrition plan without dealing with those incredible cravings that comes when you have short or bad quality sleep. So we're going to get into some of the science here, and then I'm going to get super practical. But I think it's important that you understand a little bit behind the science of sleep. So why do we sleep? I'll have you know this: sleep is a universal phenomenon. Every living thing must rest, whether it's a bear hibernating all winter or a deer sleeping only 2 hours at a time. Even unborn babies sleep about 16 hours a day in the womb. And some scientists believe that sleep is a time for the body to repair and balance itself. But it also does this while we're awake. It's repairing and balancing itself while we're awake. So sleep is in many ways a mystery. Scientists still don't even know all the reasons why it happens. And research on sleep is in its infancy. In fact, the 90s were the decade of the brain. That's when I was studying to be a neuroscientist, and I wanted to study neurobiology. And that's when the explosion of sleep research really started. And I'll tell you this, even if we're beginning to understand how we fall asleep, nobody yet knows exactly why we sleep and why we experience REM sleep. In other words, that dream state, those crazy dreams that we have every single night. But we do know it's vitally important. And if you don't get enough, there can be serious consequences to your health, energy levels, performance, and your ability to lose weight or maintain a healthy body fat percentage. So let's talk a little bit about the effects of sleep deprivation. And here's the issue. It's estimated that about 1 in 3 American adults don't get sufficient sleep on a regular basis. And if you're wondering why I keep referring to research on Americans, well, in the United States, we do a ton of research. We just spend a lot of money on it. And so that's why you see so many of the studies done on Americans. And also, America represents kind of the pinnacle of Western modernized, technologically dependent society. So that just a little note there on why so many studies come out of the US. So let's get into it. The causes of poor sleep are varied. Some people just have bad habits. They're binge watching Netflix or Game of Thrones at night instead of going to bed at a reasonable time. And we'll talk a little bit about what a reasonable time is. Some people have sleep disorders like sleep apnea. Some people have job issues and they work the shift, the late shift at their job, or they have job related restrictions on sleep, like paramedics or people in the military. But no matter the cause, there's no adjusting or getting used to sleep loss. You can't adjust to it. Now, in a way, you can, because you can get your ass up and you can go through and struggle through your day. But what we're saying here is there's no adjusting to sleep loss meaning there's no way of adjusting to it to the point where you can perform just as good on 8 hours of sleep compared to 5 hours of sleep. It doesn't exist. If you're not getting enough sleep, you are performing less well, period. And it affects all humans, regardless of our age, health, or job title. Doesn't matter how much money you make or what you think about yourself. It doesn't matter. If you're not getting enough sleep, it's messing you up. So let's get into just a few of the specifics. So let's say you're on a nutrition program. Let's say you're trying to lose fat. Well, a recent study showed that when people who were on a diet got a full night's sleep, more than half the weight they lost was fat. But when they cut back on their sleep to only 5 hours, only 1/4 of their weight loss came from fat. And on top of that, we know that the sleep-deprived dieters also felt hungrier. They produced higher levels of ghrelin, which is that hunger hormone. That's that hormone that causes the grumbling in your stomach that we've all felt. So sleep is crucially important to dieting, to losing body fat. And it's one of the things, like if you're not paying attention to your sleep, you're just messing up. It's big time. So a good physique doesn't just require optimal nutrition and a good training program. You got to have sleep. Also, if you have chronic injuries or medical conditions that cause you pain, sleep deprivation causes an effect called central sensitization that makes pain receptors more easily triggered. So in other words, you feel more pain, right? So if you're someone out there, this is something I personally have struggled with. I was like, why am I in pain all the time? And then I started realizing my sleep was terrible. And as I started to get more sleep, I started feeling better. I was in less pain. Also, studies show that when you lose sleep, your focus and attention start to wane. In fact, you start performing like someone who's been drinking alcohol. So if you're trying to seal deals, if you're a person who closes deals, if you're a person who pitches deals or makes presentations or leads a company, or if you've got kids and you want to show up and lead your children, it doesn't matter what you do. If you want to do it well, you need good quality sleep. And if we want to even take it a step further, studies have shown that people who've slept fewer than 7 of the past 24 hours, so if you get less than 7 hours of sleep, you have higher odds of being involved and responsible for a car crash. Sleep deprivation is also implicated in many of the worst tragedies as far as like nuclear meltdowns and the Exxon Valdez crash. It's a huge issue, and it's just something that we just don't appreciate. So the people who sleep less than 4 hours are at the greatest risk. Also, if you have a history of depression or mental illness in your family or personally, sleep deprivation can trigger those things. It can trigger those things. Also, if you're a person who thinks you're addicted to sweets or addicted to junk food or you're a sugar addict, well, sleep deprivation increases cravings and causes what's called hedonic eating. In other words, you're eating for the pleasure. And the studies have shown that this happens even if you've already eaten a meal. So you ate a meal and you're like, I just need a little something, a little tasty. And what do you eat? Not the superfood shake or the kale salad. You want something like Oreos or ice cream or pizza or hamburger and fries or that type of thing. So there's no way of getting away from this. If you want optimal health, optimal performance, and really to show up as the best version of yourself, you've got to focus on your sleep. But most of us don't, right? Most of us are starting to now, and I'm sure you've heard about it. And we're going to dive into, I want you to pay attention because we're going to get over some of the basics, but I'm going to dive into something that hardly anybody is talking about, or maybe even nobody has talked about sleep in the way that you're going to hear it talked about today. So let's go over this. How much sleep do we need? And scientists have been trying to answer this question for literally decades. And a series of early studies put subjects in basically stimulation-free environments where they didn't know what time it was. They didn't know the time of day. There was nothing around for them to figure out what time of the day it was. And then they monitored their daily sleep. And for the first couple of days, the subjects slept up to 12 or 20 hours, probably because they were so sleep deprived. But on subsequent days, their sleep times reduced until each person arrived at a consistent daily sleep amount. And most people settled around an average of 8 hours or so. Now, some were closer to 9, others were closer to 7, but that's how that 7 to 9 hours came up. And one thing I'll want to mention here is there are a very small percentage of people who have short sleeper genes, which they can go with less sleep and still perform well. But again, unless you have a genetic test, you don't know if you have this, and you probably don't, okay? It's statistically highly improbable. So now that we know that, let's get into how sleep works. So let me go over a couple of things just so you can understand how sleep functions in your day. So a major breakthrough in the field of sleep research took place in 1982 when a doctor by the name of Alexander Borbély from the University of Zurich published an article in the journal of Human Neurobiology. Now, he described his concept of how sleep and wake are controlled over a 24-hour period. And he called this idea the two-process model of sleep regulation. So the first process is something called sleep pressure. And basically, sleep pressure is this phenomenon that happens. Like the moment you wake up, you start building up sleep pressure until it gets to the point where it makes you very sleepy, right? That's why you get sleepy. And it kind of forces you to go to bed. So if you get a full night of sleep, you start the next day with low sleep pressure. If you didn't get that much sleep, you start the next day with a higher amount of sleep pressure. In other words, you start to get tired very easily. And you might wonder if sleep pressure builds from as soon as you wake up and just builds over that time until you go back to sleep, why don't we get as sleepy as soon as we wake up? And that's where the second process of the two process model comes into play. And that's called wake drive. And this wake drive is the result of several different brain systems working together to produce the alertness that you experience, and it counteracts that mounting sleep pressure. And the end result is that while sleep pressure builds from when you wake up till, you know, nighttime, at least for most of us who don't have shift work jobs, your wake drive also builds from morning to night. And this keeps your level of alertness relatively even across the day. Now, just a couple of fun facts. We figured out that at least one substance called adenosine is responsible for this sleep pressure. So adenosine is a byproduct of your metabolism, your brain's metabolism. And it starts to build up this adenosine. And one of the reasons why coffee works is that it blocks adenosine receptors. So the adenosine can't attach into the receptors in your brain. And that's why you experience more alertness. Now, the other thing, the wake drive, it works on this 24-hour cycle that's based on light exposure. And we're going to really dive into light exposure here because light is the key, right? And it's something that you're probably not getting enough of. So just to put that into context for you, for millions of years, our ancestors evolved to sleep at night when it's dark and wake during the day when it's light. However, in the modern world, we work inside all day, most of us, often in areas that are darker than the outside world. Okay, and what do we have? We got those crappy fluorescent lights. And then at night we get home, and what do? Oh, well, you know, you don't just sit there in the dark. You got to turn on that light. And we create this second daytime. And we look at bright screens like our televisions, our computers, and our smartphones. And so we have this really messed up situation where we have low light exposure during the day, then more light at night. And that's exactly the opposite of naturally occurring cycles. And it seems quite likely that this could cause a lot of the circadian issue or the circadian rhythm issues that so many of us experience, where we're tired in the morning and wired at night. We're completely out of sync with nature. And again, humans have rules. You can't go without, just to tell you a quick story. I got into an argument with a guy online one time, and I was just like, listen, biology trumps psychology. And he's like, well, if you believe that, then that's what you believe, but that's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. And I very simply responded to him, hold your breath and see, and use some psychological technique and see how long you can go without breathing. Use some psychological technique to go without drinking water and see how well you can handle dehydration. And then when it comes to food, yeah, go without that too. Use some psychological technique. Now, obviously, he wouldn't make it past the first one. Humans can't live without a couple minutes without oxygen to your brain. You start to get brain damage and then eventually you die. There's no way of going around that. There are rules to the human body. Just like you can't drive your car without changing the oil, your car will break down. In fact, that's what happened to me one time in my 20s. I lost the first car that I ever bought myself. Well, thankfully, I only paid like $2,000 for it, but I lost a car because I just tried to drive that thing. I didn't pay attention to how it worked. And I lost a car because I wasn't changing the oil regularly. Yes, super stupid, but you know, that's how I rolled in my early 20s, not too bright. And the same thing is true with human beings. There are just certain rules we have to follow. And the light-dark cycles and being in sync with them is one of them. So let's talk about this idea of circadian rhythms a little bit. If you ever watched a vampire or a werewolf movie, or if you're into bats, I don't know, whatever you're into, Giselle and I had an experience where we went into a cave in Cancun and these fruit bats were everywhere. Giselle kind of freaked out about it, but you've heard of the term nocturnal before. This term means active during the night. And in fact, bats, if you shine light on them, it makes them tired. And then if they're in darkness, they wake up. So this means that active, so again, that nocturnal means active during the night. Well, humans are what are called diurnal creatures. And I don't remember hearing that word until more recently. And that means we're active during the day and we rest and sleep at night. For example, can you see better during the day or at night? Right? Of course. We're designed to function during the day. It's how our biology is set up. And it goes beyond just having good eyesight during the day versus at night. It has to do with something called, again, your circadian rhythm. And a circadian rhythm is just any biological process that displays like an endogenous, entrainable oscillation of about 24 hours, to use the highly sciencey explanation of it. So in other words, it's just a pattern of biochemical changes that are on this 24-hour clock. And by the way, your circadian rhythms are set by your circadian clock. And so these things are synchronized with the light and dark cycles of the earth. So why am I telling you this? Because if you don't get this basic idea of how we're designed, you're not going to be able to understand why we do certain things to optimize our sleep. Okay, you've got to understand this basic stuff. If you want to understand, okay, well, why do I have to do this thing to improve my sleep? So when it comes to setting your circadian clock properly, light exposure has the most powerful influence over the master clock of your brain. Now, some people will tell you that, oh, when you eat is really important. Okay, for sure. But what it really comes down to is light. In fact, light is crucial for good health. We can even consider it a form of natural medicine. You could consider it a form of supplement. You can consider it something that you should get in your daily regimen, just like how you get some exercise or you get some good quality nutrition. That's why I get crazy when people are arguing about nutrition. And I'll tell you, they're probably arguing because they're sleep deprived and their amygdala, their, you know, fight or flight mechanism is on haywire because their amygdala is more active because they haven't gotten enough sleep at night. So exposure to light at the proper time can have positive effects on your energy levels, on the quality of your sleep, on your cognitive function, on your mood, on your blood pressure. If you've got blood pressure issues, getting more light can help. There's even some evidence that it can help with fat burning too. Now, of course, let's not go crazy here. Fat burning, you can sleep terrible and still lose fat, but this can optimize it. So exposure to light at the proper time can have all these great effects. Conversely, light exposure at the wrong time can cause all these problems for you. All right. Basic stuff that we need to understand. Now, let's talk a little bit about sleep. So that's what we've gone over, the two processes. We've gone over the sleep pressure. We've gone over the sleep wake drive or the wake drive. Sorry. We've gone over circadian rhythms and how there's this 24-hour rhythm that our brains are synced to, and it has to do with light, and light is the most important thing. So now let's talk about the stages of sleep. So there's four stages of sleep. I'm not going to get too crazy with this because you can really talk a lot about this stuff and about the different brain waves that happen. And I'm not really sure how going into too much detail here is going to help you. I will tell you this, there's four stages of sleep. There's stage one, which is non-REM stage one, and it's mostly alpha waves that happen in your brain. Then there's stage two, which is again, non-REM sleep, and theta waves dominate. But the two types of sleep that we're going to talk about are stage three sleep, which is deep sleep or slow wave sleep. It's called both. And that's when delta waves dominate during this period of time where your heart rate and blood pressure fall and your brain temperature cools down and you get this restorative effect. And it's just super important that you get this deep sleep or slow wave sleep. The other stage that's really important is the REM sleep, which is short for rapid eye movement sleep. So there's three stages of non-REM sleep, with deep sleep being the most important. The other phases are really just transition phases. And so the most important ones are slow wave sleep or deep sleep, and then REM sleep. And REM sleep happens every hour and a half or so and lasts about 5 to 30 minutes. And that's when we dream. And the dreaming that happens during REM sleep is super important. And if you're not getting enough deep sleep or getting enough REM sleep, you're not going to be functioning optimally. It really is about optimizing these things. And even if you get a lot of stage one sleep, but you're not getting enough stage slow wave sleep or REM sleep, it's going to cause problems. Some other things that I think are important is that a complete sleep cycle takes an average of 90 minutes to maybe 120 minutes, with each stage lasting between 5 to 15 minutes. And another thing that's important, we'll go into a little bit more, but the first sleep cycles of each night have relatively short REM sleeps. And towards the morning is when you have more REM sleep. So that's why, and really interesting about REM sleep is it has to do again with your circadian rhythm. Now you go into deep sleep, you can go into deep sleep actually during a nap during the day, but you won't go into as much REM sleep or maybe even any. I'm not quite sure about that part. I'll have to get back to you on another episode about that. But REM sleep happens towards the morning. So it's really important. That's why the timing of your sleep is important. That's why you can't just sleep 8 hours and go to bed at 5 a.m. and then wake up at, or, you know, wake up 8 hours later and feel rested. It's this connection with the dark and light cycles of the earth that affect when your REM sleep cycles happen. So I could talk to you more about that stuff, but I really think it's not that, I think we can get into details that aren't that applicable. So let's move on to some age-related sleep changes. So I want to let you know this. As people age, it takes longer to fall asleep. That's called sleep latency. That's how long you it takes for you to fall asleep. And if you take less than 5 minutes, 5 minutes or less to fall asleep, you're probably sleep deprived. So if you're one of those people like, oh, I'm out as soon as my head hits the pillow, that's because you're sleep deprived. And if it takes you more than 20 minutes to fall asleep, well, you've got issues. So again, you want to fall asleep within that, say that 5 to 15 minutes to fall asleep or so, or even 20 minutes is okay. But if you're taking longer than 20 minutes, or if you take less than 5 minutes, it's a sign that there's some issue. So pay attention to that. Also, as you get older, you have less deep sleep. You have less total time in sleep. You have less time in REM sleep. It starts to go down. So what I'm trying to tell you here is if you want to make sure that you're aging well, if you don't want to end up like all the old people that who you see are just messed up and tired and just struggling, probably like a lot of your parents are, and you want to avoid aging faster than you should, improving your sleep quality and tracking it as you get older should be extremely high up on your priority for your health. So that said, let's talk about how to sleep better. How do we actually get a better night's sleep? And just to start off this talk, I want to talk about balancing stress and recovery. Because what happens is that, and what I find with most people in the West, most of my clients, we're really great in America, Canada, Australia, most Europeans. We're really great at pushing the envelope, burning the candle at both ends. We'll wake up after 4 or 5 hours of sleep, drink some coffee. So we're stressed out because we didn't get enough sleep. We're stressed out because we drank some coffee. Then we work a stressful job for 8 hours a day and then come back and stress our bodies out by eating a lot of junk food because that's what we're craving because we're so sleep deprived. We have that hedonic eating, right? And then we stay up too late watching Netflix shows or binge watching Game of Thrones seasons. And we're just running the cycle of stress. In fact, I've joked around by issuing challenges. I'm like, hey, you think you're tough? Try this challenge out. And people are like, oh yeah, I'm tough. I can work all night. I can go with no sleep. I can work out for hours at a time. I can work for 10 hours straight. I can push me to the edge. What's your challenge, Ted? What are you going to challenge me to do? I'm ready for it. Cool. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to sit in a meditation posture, and I want you to, for 5 minutes, close your eyes, focus on your breath, and when the thoughts come, I want you to slowly and gently bring your attention back to the breath for 5 minutes. How's that for a challenge? And people are like, oh, I've tried meditating before. Oh man, that is not what I thought was coming. And so what I want to tell you is we have this out of balance approach. We're so out of balance. And what this has to do with is our autonomic nervous system, something that you've probably heard before. You probably heard of your sympathetic nervous system, which is your fight or flight nervous system. You probably heard of your parasympathetic nervous system, which is your rest and digest. And what happens is things like excessive inflammation, chronic inflammation, heart disease, diabetes, all these chronic diseases that we're coming down with in the modern world are connected to our too much sympathetic nervous system activity, too much adrenaline, too much norepinephrine, and which is adrenaline for your brain. And we don't balance it out. We're so out of balance all the time. We lift weights. We do high intensity interval training. We do martial arts, competitive sports. We drink venti frappuccinos from Starbucks and 5-hour energy drinks and Red Bull and vodka. We'll work high stress jobs. We'll work 10 hours a day sitting in our chair, getting yelled at by our boss or busting our employees' balls. And then we'll go without sleep. That's our thing. But we don't do the parasympathetic activities that bring us back in to balance. Like I said, you want to challenge a high-performance person? Challenge them to do a meditation. If you want a real challenge, don't sign up for a Tough Mudder. Don't sign up for a CrossFit. You want a real challenge? Step up for real and do a meditation. Do a one-day meditation retreat, a Vipassana one-day meditation retreat. Do a Qigong course for 3 hours. Do a yoga a retreat. These are the types of challenges that you really need, not more stress. It's so ridiculous. And one of the things that I'd like you to challenge you to is sleep better. Go to bed earlier. Those are the things we have a problem with. Most of us are high performance. We're stressed out. We'll work hard. We'll do crazy workouts and high intensity interval trainings and walk around all irritable and stress out in traffic. Right. But if you challenge us to do Qigong, real slow movements coordinated with our breath, or even worse, to sit there in silence in a meditation posture and focus on deep breaths, it freaks us out. That's what we got to focus on. If you want a big boost, you have to focus on those things. And the king is not meditation. It's not acupuncture, it's not yoga, it's not Qigong, it's sleep. Sleep is the king of the parasympathetic, the way to balance out the fight and flight stress that you have every single day. So keep that in mind. There's nothing that you can do. There's no yoga or acupuncture or any supplements or anything like that can make up for sleep. And when I say sleep, I don't mean 5 hours of sleep. I mean 7 to 9 hours of quality sleep. So with that said, let's get into daily habits that can give you better sleep quality. So the first one is, again, this is the challenge. Make sleep a priority. If you're not going to make sleep a priority, then you're not going to take the actions to get better sleep. And it's as simple as that. You've got to make sleep a priority. And so the next basic thing is to go to sleep and wake up at the same time every day. And what's really important here, and is something that I wondered about for a long time, because this one you've probably heard before, is it, does it have to be like this 8 o'clock every night? Or if I wake up at 8 a.m. or 7 a.m., it's got to be the same time. If I'm 7:05, if I wake up at 7:05 or 6:45, is that going to mess me up? And what I'd say is go to sleep and wake up within an hour of the same time every day. You're probably going to be safe. I don't know if anyone has the definitive answer. Be careful about people who claim that they do. If people are way too confident about what they're recommending and they don't have a PhD in neuroscience, be highly skeptical about what they tell you. So the next one is avoid blue light for 2 hours before bedtime. All right. And you can do this by downloading f.lux on your computer. That's something that's free and that you should do. You can wear blue light blocking glasses. I personally use carbon shades because they wrap around your eyes. The Swanies don't. They look cooler, but the light gets in from around the frame. The frame doesn't block them out well. So I like carbon shades best. Also, dim your lights at night. It's not enough to just have f.lux. Dim the lights in your house. Dim the lights on your computer, right? It's not just about wearing the cool blue light or not so cool looking blue light blocking glasses and having funky apps running. You've got to dim the lights. So start to dim your lights down in the house and on the things that you use at night. If you're watching TV, if you're watching your, if you're on the computer, if you're on your phone, use the settings on your phone. If you've got an iPhone, you can use the nighttime setting. I'm sure Android has something. So make sure you dim all those lights. Find a way to dim and really prioritize this stuff. Because again, if you don't make this a priority, you're going to be like, oh, I don't want to dim the blue lights. I don't like the weird red, orangish colors that the blue light blocking glasses do that creates after you wear them. Well, listen, you've got to do this if you want to sleep better. Another thing is to black out your bedroom. You can also wear an eye mask, but it's not going to be as good. So black out your bedroom, invest in thermal blackout curtains. And if you're going to use a mask, use the Sleepmaster eye mask. I personally don't like that one because it warms my ears and gets my head too hot. But if you're a person who doesn't mind, if you tend to be towards the cool side, then the Sleepmaster is the best mask that I've found. Giselle loves it. She gets cold at night. It keeps your ears warm and also just really blocks out the light well, and it's comfortable. But really invest in the thermal blackout curtains. I've had a problem with this because I'm traveling on the go. I'm always living in a different Airbnb or hotel, but I always look, and it's a requirement that the place that I stay in at least has some degree of some quality of blackout curtains, or I won't even stay there because I know I'm going to be miserable the entire time when the ambient light comes in during the night, or when the sun starts shining in the morning and wakes me up before I should get up. The next one is soundproof your bedroom. Now, this one's a tough one if you are like me and you're on the go a lot. And so if you can't invest in soundproofing your bedroom, it's a great thing to do. You can also use white noise machines, or this is what I do. I don't travel with a white noise machine. I use earplugs. I use soft foam earplugs. And almost every single night I do this. Some nights I'm like, I give my ears a rest. But if you're using the soft foam, your ears can usually handle it. But you've got to block out the sound, especially if you are sound sensitive. If you get woken up like I do from sounds during the night. Also, keep your bedroom cool but comfortable. You want to lower the room temperature. You want to make sure that it's somewhere in the range of 65 to 70 degrees Fahrenheit or 18 to 21 degrees Celsius. You can also get something like a chili pad, which Tim Ferriss and others have spoken about. I can't personally speak to it because I've never used it, but I'll tell you that I have used pillows and mattresses with cooling gel. Those can help out a lot. I will say the hot bath is something that people promote a lot. For me, it really makes my sleep worse. I need a cold shower, not a hot bath. So cold showers really do it for me, or taking a swim in a cool pool, but hot baths don't do it for me. You've got to experiment with this to see what works best for you. Also, exercise regularly. It's really simple. People who exercise sleep better than people who don't. And you should be aiming for some type of exercise every single day. And no, I don't mean high intensity interval training or a CrossFit class or lifting weights hardcore in the gym, but a 30-minute walk every single day is totally doable by every single person. Now, the next thing is make sure that your mattress is comfortable and supports you well. This is something that I never appreciated until I came to Asia, and I've slept on some of the worst beds ever. Like, you're laying on a bed, the bed's uncomfortable, and you feel the spring pushing into your body, and I really slept poorly as a result. So you've got to make sure that you have a comfortable mattress. If it's too soft, it can make your back hurt because your low back goes into extension during the night if you sleep on your back, or it goes into too much lateral flexion if you sleep on your side. And so really make sure that you have a comfortable mattress, but it's also supportive. Same thing with your pillow. You want it to be supporting your neck properly. And I'll tell you, it takes a while to get this stuff handled. Don't be afraid to go in and try different pillows and try different mattresses and really try to get it handled. And keep in mind that mattresses, especially if they're a Tempur-Pedic mattress or other memory foam mattress, they'll get more give. In other words, they'll give more. They'll get softer as time goes on. So try to aim for something a little bit harder that will soften up. But again, if it's too hard, it probably is not going to work with you. So the last thing I'd say about this is I told you some basics. It's up to you to find out what works for you. Nobody can tell you what works for you. I've gave you some guidelines, some suggestions, but it's up to you to mix and match and experiment until you come up with the perfect sleep situation for yourself. So don't let anybody tell you exactly what you have to do. You have to use these as guidelines and experiment for yourself. That's what I do with my clients. I don't tell them what to do. We do experiments to see what we can do to get the perfect situation going for sleep optimization. A couple of other things that I'll say here is that if you have chronic pain, there's a strong relationship between insomnia and painful disorders. So pain is not only a risk factor for insomnia, but it can also, insomnia can make your pain worse and pain can cause insomnia. So make sure that you deal with chronic pain. If you're a person, you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and you beat yourself up at the gym and you've got a bunch of injuries and it's messing up your sleep at night, you've got to get that handled. And the last thing I'd say is also if you are overweight, if you're a man and you have a body fat percentage that's over 20%, if you're a woman and you're over 25%, look on losing weight, especially that body fat. If you are having trouble sleeping, it may be due to the fact that you're having some sleep apnea episodes. If you have too much body fat and you snore like that, like I used to, then it's disrupting your sleep. And it's probably disrupting your partner too. So that's another thing you can do to optimize your sleep. Lose weight, you will sleep better. It's amazing how many clients that I help lose weight and then their sleep automatically gets better. And we don't have to go crazy about all this, you know, this sleep biohacking. You know, we don't have to do that. And the last thing I want to say about this sleep masterclass is that the best thing you can do is to track your sleep. Track your sleep, track your recovery. And there is only one piece of equipment, one wearable device that I can recommend to do this. And that is the Oura Ring. I will tell you this. If you don't have an Oura Ring, you are not serious about your health. You're not serious about your sleep. You're not serious about performing your best. It's as simple as that. It is the best wearable on the market. Oura is not paying me to say that. They should, because I'm a huge evangelist for their product, even though you probably haven't heard me talk about it before, but it is incredible. It gives you your resting heart rate, your HRV, your body temperature. It measures how long it takes for your resting heart rate to stabilize during the night. It measures your total sleep, your sleep efficiency, how restful your sleep is. It measures your REM sleep, your deep sleep, how long it takes you to go to bed and what time you go to bed, not to mention so many other things. It is, again, if you don't have an Oura Ring, you are not serious about your health. You're not serious about sleep. And that's all there is to it. Now, the Oura Ring's expensive. It runs from $300 to $400. I got the matte black Oura Ring. It cost me $350 with the discount. And I'll tell you though, and there's no difference in functionality, by the way, from the matte black to the other Oura Rings. It's just an aesthetic. It is the best investment you can make for your health. If you're having problems in the morning with your energy levels, if you're having problems with your sleep, you're waking up during the night, this can help put you on track to optimizing your sleep in a way you would never have been able to do. Now, I know not everyone is in the position to throw down that type of money, even though I think it's such a drop in the bucket for what you get back. It's not just the ring. The app is just next level and it's just going to get better. It is just an incredible piece of equipment. But I know maybe you're in your 20s, maybe you're in a tough financial spot, maybe whatever it is. I heard that Sleep Cycle is very good. That's an app that you can get on your Android or iPhone or whatever type of phone you use. So the science behind it is very solid. Just invest in the upgraded one because the free version just doesn't tell you as much. And again, it pales in comparison to the Oura Ring. So if you're really serious and you can find a way to put it in the budget, do it. It is some of the best money you'll ever spend ever. So go without a few dinners out or a few trips to the bar or whatever it is that you're spending your money on. Save up and get one. It is worth it. It will take your relationship with your sleep to the next level and your awareness about what type of sleep you're getting to the next level. It's allowed me to just tweak my sleep just on a level that I never thought was possible. Okay, so let's turn off the plug for the Oura Ring and let's wrap up a little bit. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And like I said, I don't get paid for saying any of this stuff about the Oura Ring or anything else that I've presented here, except for, you know, I've told you that Organifi is sponsoring the podcast today. And again, you can use the code TED, all capital letters, TED 20. So TED 20 at Organifi, Organifi.com to get 20% off your first order if you'd like to do that. But ordering, is something I believe in. And what I want to leave you with is this. There is no, like I said earlier, there's no supplement, there's no workout, there's no nutrition plan that can make up for poor quality sleep or not sleeping enough. This, my friends, is a game changer. So stop looking for the supplements. Stop looking for the magic exercises and stop arguing about nutrition if you don't have your sleep in order. If you're irritable, if you feel stressed, if you are living off of a pot of coffee or Venti Frappuccinos from Starbucks in the morning, handle your sleep. It will be one of the best investments you ever make in your health. It will take your cognitive function. It'll take your workouts. It will take everything to the next level. And make sure you balance out that sleep and that stress and recovery, the sympathetic with the parasympathetic. Again, knowing the rules of the human body is the key to optimal health and getting the most out of life, showing up as the best version of yourself, and really living a life that is truly legendary. So that's the thought I want to leave you with. And again, sleep well, take it seriously. And if you're having an issue with your sleep, seek out a sleep doctor. Seek out cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia, cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT for insomnia. These things can make huge difference. If you've got sleep apnea, you need to lose weight. If you have a prostate issue, if you're a man, you've got to see specialists. You've got to get this handled because there's no amount of sleep hacking that can make up for those problems. You've got to solve the root cause. So make sure you're taking your sleep seriously. It's one of the most important things that you can do. It's one of the things that really helped transform my approach to health and made me feel so much better than I used to, even though I was exercising well and eating properly. And it's something that just can be taken to the next level once you get the feedback from something like an Oura Ring. That's it for today, my friend. I hope you enjoyed part one of the Sleep Masterclass. And part two is going to be released next Monday, where we'll discuss how lack of sleep might be affecting all of your daily activities. And I'm also going to give you more tips on how to improve the quality of your sleep. So tune in next week to find out more about how to have a great night of sleep. Until then, I'll speak to you on Friday. And this Real Talk Friday, it's going to be about something a little controversial. It's going to be about a question that I received a few times, my thoughts on the vaccine, whether I'm going to get it or not. And folks, I'm going to share a story about how I used to think, what I used to believe about vaccines. Give you a little hint. I used to be an anti-vaxxer to the point where I walked out of a doctor's office one day after he said that I needed to get vaccines. And I'm going to share with you how my perspective has changed, why it changed, and what I think now. So if that's something you're interested in, or whether you're trying to figure out what you should do for yourself, hopefully I can add a bit of perspective for you, some critical thinking. That's what we're going to be diving into here, as well as looking at some of the best data available. So until then, think about what we discussed today. Sleep is crucially important. I mean, it's something that it's something I've become more passionate about. I've got my Oura Ring on right now. I check my Oura Ring stats every single day. It's so important. So take it seriously. Sleep well. Hope you have an amazing week, and I'll speak to you on Friday.